Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. This is Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio, news-related subjects in light of the Bible. And now, here's your commentator, Ray Brubaker.
Thank you. The world's Roman Catholic bishops met recently to discuss the moral blight in the world we call sin. A 49-page study document states, "The fundamental cause of all divisions in men's souls and their societies is sin, or the evil that man does freely before God." Well, George Cornell, an Associated Press religious news writer, calls attention to all the trouble existing in the world. He writes, "In classical Christian thought, the woes of the world and of the people in it stem from a single pervasive and underlying condition, an ailment called sin." Well, today we're seeing rebellion against authority in the home and in government. Some question the role of the person seen disobeying the laws of God as to whether or not that one is a sinner. For to call him a sinner may degrade and demoralize. At least that may be the thinking of Dr. Robert Schuller, pastor of the famous Glass Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. Schuller has written a book, Self-Esteem, The New Reformation. He states, quote, "Classical theology defines sin as rebellion against God." He comments, "The answer is not incorrect as much as it is shallow and insulting to the human being. Every person deserves to be treated with dignity, even if he or she is a rebellious sinner." Well, here is Dr. Schuller.
The proclamation of sin in Western Christianity comes across in a way that the human being is insulted, he is demeaned, he is stripped of his dignity, he is embarrassed, he is humiliated. And you don't convert people through humiliation, embarrassment, and shame. All right, if I may be the devil's advocate of my own argument, someone would say, but a lot of people have been converted that way. And I would say, well, yes, in the sense that if you want to focus on the ultimate eschatological end of Christianity, let's say a doctrine of heaven and not hell, and being accepted by the grace of God, we can't quarrel. But the point is, I happen to believe that healthy Christianity should produce a regenerated person who is an emotionally, inwardly secure, relaxed, self-assured person.
That was Dr. Robert Schuller. The Good News broadcaster says, in Self-Esteem, The New Reformation, Schuller as much as says he is deviating from classical Christian theology. In biblical theology, it is common to point out the scriptural argument which states, first of all, men are sinners. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Then we're reminded we cannot save ourselves, but that Christ died to save us from our sins. A text used is 1 Timothy 1:15. "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Then finally, apart from accepting this truth about man's sinfulness and need of salvation, it's impossible for man to be saved, to save himself. He must recognize these facts of Scripture. Then humbly and in a spirit of repentance, he must accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We're reminded of the illustration of the old Methodist preacher who didn't beat around the bush in preaching on sin. He called it the abominable thing that God hates. Later, one of his members came to him saying, "We don't like for you to talk so plainly about sin. Our children will more easily be called sinners." Whereupon the preacher picked up a bottle of strychnine, clearly marked with the skull and crossbones. Said he, "Suppose I take off the label of poison and put on some mild label such as essence of peppermint." "Don't you see what happens?" asked the preacher. "The milder you make the label, the more dangerous you make the poison." Well, Dr. Schuller defines sin as any human condition or act that robs God of glory by stripping one of his children of their rights to divine dignity. A symposium which included high-ranking clergymen met for the purpose of discussing the relation of the concept of sin to mental health. The discussion resulted in a statement being issued to the effect that the concept of sin is highly pernicious and that no human being should ever be blamed for anything he does. What may not be popular to preach on sin? As a physician does not prescribe an aspirin for cancer but orders immediate surgery to get to the very cause of the trouble, so a faithful minister must preach on sin. Sugar-coated, sweet-sounding messages only serve as soothing medicine to comfort men in their sin, whereas a spiritual operation is necessary to arrest the disease and to save the patient. Well, sin in the life will bring physical and eternal death unless it is washed away in the precious cleansing blood of Jesus. For the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, we read, cleanses us from all sin. In our newspapers was an account of a minister in England who declared the Ten Commandments were not for today, that they have no application to our present world. So he ordered their discontinuance in his services. Well, the Bible says by the law is the knowledge of sin. We're living in a day when people don't like to be reminded of the commandments of God, commandments which forbid adultery and command the Lord's day to be kept holy. Because this nation or any nation refuses to keep the laws of God, the inevitable result is a soon coming judgment. For we read, if God spared not the angels that sinned, and spared not the old world, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, how can we expect God to spare us, except that we repent of our sin? Today, when many voices are heard crying out against communism and every other ism, there needs also to be a clarion call to cry out against sin. Israel was warned time and again she would be destroyed by her enemies if she failed to keep the commandments of God. Whereas if she heeded his laws and precepts, her enemies would be routed and defeated. So similarly, my friends, the need is for men of God to rise and cry out against the sins of our day, sins bringing corruption within and eventual destruction from without. The Lord told Israel, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, notice, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Sin is often the cause of both physical and national maladies, and except we repent, greater judgments and calamities will come upon us. Perhaps some of our confusion lies in our inability to discern just what sin is. Here are some scriptural definitions. First, Proverbs 24, verse 9, the thought of foolishness is sin. What about the off-color joke, the jesting of clowning comedians on radio and television? Paul, writing to the Ephesian Christians, reminds them, on account of foolish talking and jesting, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Well, certainly we're not to be long-faced, but on the other hand, we must guard against such frivolity. But the Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. In the second place, James would remind us, if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin. How many of us love our neighbor as ourselves? What do we want them to share the same comforts and conveniences that we enjoy? The gospel knows no color boundaries, no race distinctions, no denominational lines. If truly born again, we're one in Christ. In the third place, James declares, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. To fail to take time to read the Bible and to pray is sin. To fail to visit the sick and shut-in, to provide for the needs of others if we're able to offer assistance is sin. To be able to give to the needs of missionaries or for the propagation of the gospel by radio and television, if we have the means to do so, my friends, according to this definition, it is sin. Spurgeon once ran into a man who kept boasting how he didn't do certain things until finally the great Spurgeon could stand it no longer. Why, man, you don't gamble, you don't drink, you don't swear. What in the name of goodness do you do? So you see, sin is not only doing wrong things, To know to do good and do it not, the Bible says, is sin. Then in the fourth place, the Apostle John would remind us all unrighteousness is sin. We know murder and stealing are wrong, but as we might suppose, so is anger, unkind words, an unforgiving spirit, impure thoughts, worry. These latter sins may be little sins. Nevertheless, they keep the believer from enjoying victory. Well, friends, there's a lesson for all of us to learn, never to trifle with sin, no matter how small nor how alluring. For the Bible says, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. A giant oak may withstand severe storms, lightning, and drought, but a fly can come along, deposit its eggs on the bark of the tree, and soon the tree succumbs to the silent, unobserved beetle. And so it is with sin. The cancer victim never dreamed the little cigarette would eventually bring about his death. The alcoholic never thought that that first glass of wine would ultimately make him a hopeless drunkard. The gambler never suspected the game of innocent-looking cards would stir up emotions that would bring him to a suicide's grave. The young girl, now shunned by her lover and shamed by society, never anticipated disgrace as the result of just one night of illicit love. Ah, my friends, the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Not only eternal death in the lake of fire where torments never cease, but physical death, too, is often the result of sin. So be not deceived. Sin promises pleasure, but gives pain. Sin offers life, but brings death. In every sin, there's the seed of another sin, itself propagating. Sin corrupts man's nature, perverts his tastes, weakens his will, and sears his conscience. With each evil deed, inclinations toward evil become stronger and stronger until, as the Scripture says, he cannot cease from sin. Well, my friends, if you've never done so, today receive Jesus Christ as the Savior from sin. And if a believer were admonished to lay aside every sin as well as the besetting sins, the gospel is that Christ died for our sin, that he rose again, and through the Holy Spirit he can keep us from sin. Ah, that's the way to be ready for our Lord's soon return. I'll pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sin. I pray that you'll come into my heart and life to forgive me of my sin and to keep me from sin. Make me your child to do your will, to live for you and serve you until you come. Amen. Indeed, be ye therefore ready also, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
When the morning sun comes riding down, his eyes are blazed with many crowns. Will you be ready to go?
Thank you for listening to Ray Brubaker's Classic Radio. For a podcast of this message, visit raybrubaker.com on the internet. May God richly bless you is our prayer.